We had the pleasure of going to a wedding on Friday. It was quite a tiring journey, but it was wonderful to see two good friends get married. And one of the friends, he's a bit older than me, and he's got an instant family, and his stepson of 17, and him and his wife had just had a small child. And it was incredible in the speech, because the chap's wedding, he's not an orator, you know. He's doing speeches is definitely not his gift. But it didn't matter, because as he spoke the words he wrote down, the words were evidenced in his life, in how he acted out, in how he demonstrated his love. And as he talked about taking that 17-year-old boy into his family and loving him and caring for him and making him feel accepted, growing up with love and hope and joy and a family and a home where he's cared for and loved, everybody who knew them just started to cry. Well, I didn't. I don't cry very often, but Lucia was in tears. Just crying. And Brazilians are very emotional anyway, so they're doing this. They were just crying forever, you know, in this. But it was very emotional. That it wasn't even a natural father, but a stepfather demonstrating that love for a child. And seeing the boy responding in his speech of saying how he feels loved and accepted and valued. And Paul has an incredible ministry in this text. He starts to outline for us why he does things. He doesn't do it for himself. He does it to bring people to salvation, because he's met an incredible, a wonderful, a beautiful Father in heaven. And his life's been transformed and changed forever. And he doesn't want to talk about anything except his mission to go to the Gentiles and to bring them to faith and salvation. What do you talk about? The other way you go, do you talk about bringing people to salvation, about what God's doing, about encounter? It's so great to be in God's presence. I just want to go out there and tell people about Jesus. That's my mission. I have no other purpose in life but to preach the gospel, that I live for Christ, that He is my center. He is my hope. Nothing else matters except for Christ. I exist for Him. I'm guessing by your expressions, no. If we're being honest, yeah, it probably is, no, isn't it? But when we start to read Paul and his love for these people, these desires, that he doesn't want to boast in who he is and what he's done, what he's experienced, the journeys, the missions, all the stories he could tell that he's encountered going around the world telling people about Jesus, he just wants to talk about what Jesus has done in his life and what Jesus can do in other people's lives and the power the gospel can bring for salvation. And he said, I don't just do this with words. It's so easy as Christians to be fantastic with words. We're fantastic at writing hymns, beautiful hymns with beautiful words to express perhaps somebody else's heart's desire. We have fantastic poetry, a wonderful Bible on the Word of God. But when people experience us, do they just experience words? Do they experience somebody who's speaking but doesn't demonstrate it with their life? That's the hard part, isn't it? When we try to match our life, our words to our life that we should live, and our life to the words that we believe. And there's somehow that These words that we read in the Bible, these words that we pray, these words that we sing have to manifest in our life and become power and become strength for the power of salvation, to bring people into relationship with Papa God, that we're so much in love with God that it doesn't matter that our soul desires for other people to know that love and to experience that love and have no desire except for them to dwell in that presence. So how did Paul do it? Well, he had a great publicity team. He had posters and they had advertising and leaflets. And he went out and people said to people, come along and we're doing some craft. You know, come and join us. No offense, Jack. He didn't really, did he? He just went to where there was opportunity, where people had open hearts and minds. And he started to share what God had done in his life. His testimony, his experience of God, his understanding of the scriptures, all that God had done, God's love for them, how much God had given them through Jesus Christ, and shared that. And he said, I came with a demonstration, not of words, but by powers of signs and wonders. That when he went to people and went amongst people, his love for God was so much that he dwelt in the presence of God so much that he spent time in prayer, that he knew God and loved God, that he read the scriptures and let them soak through him. His desire was God for God. His heart was God. Everyone was from God. That he was so soaked with that presence of God that where he went, God's presence manifested itself and things happened. Isn't that exciting? He's saying there's no secret formula. It's not a hidden secret. It's not even hard. It just takes commitment, desire and heart that Christ might consume you, that Christ might sit on the throne of your heart, that your whole desire may be God and God's glory, that you might want to dwell in his presence so much that you just let him flow through you, that the places that you go, that not only do you speak the word of God to people and say that God's done so much for me. He's given me Christ. I'm so much in love with God. I can't tell you why, but I'm so much in love with God. We don't have to understand everything, do we? We don't have to grasp everything, but we're called to be in love. And we want God to speak to us. We want God to reveal things to us. We want God to work through us. But we've got to be prepared to take that opportunity to listen. When we had the 8 days of prayer and people were saying, oh, I really struggle to hear God. You know, sometimes we struggle so much to try and hear God that we're struggling so much we can't hear him. Because too busy saying, God, I want to hear you, God, I want to hear you, God, I want to hear you, God, I want to speak to me, God, speak to me, God. God, I'm trying, be quiet. And it's amazing how when you just go places and we are just there, and sometimes when you forget about God speaking to you, what happens? He speaks. Because he's waiting for the opportunity, but our hearts are fertile and ready and waiting. And we're hungry, we're anticipating, we're ready for God to speak and to move. We've spent that time in the presence. We've spent that time saying, God, I desire you to speak to me. And then just as you're walking along the street and you're distracted by something else, it's not an audible voice, but you feel in your heart, you feel in your spirit, God moving and God speaking and God saying, this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm saying to you at the moment. These are the leaves that I'm clearing out the way to give you a picture of what I'm going to do tonight, that I'm going to clear ground, that I'm going to make way. And we can get so distracted with religion that we can't see God anymore. It's much easier to put things between ourselves and God, isn't it? It's so easy to say, well, I'm a Christian. I come to church. I sing hymns. I read the Bible. I even made a commitment for Christ. I can't remember, but I made a commitment for Christ. And somehow we think that is enough. Where God says, I'm not an idol. If that's what you do, then get a little idol and put it up there, and you can come into church on Sundays and you can worship it and you can give it your sacrifices and you can get excited on the Sunday and just come and do your stuff and then walk away and forget about me till the next time you come and see me when I'm ready to take your sacrifice again. Because as I want your heart, I want to consume you. I want you to die to yourself so that you might find life in the full. I want you to dwell in my presence. I want intimacy. I want to know you and love you. What's our response to God? Do we desire that also? I remember the story about the Lewis revival. Has anybody ever heard of that? It's the last time Scottish people became Christians. 1959, it is. And you know what? It wasn't anything exciting because the church there wasn't very exciting. They sort of sang psalms and they were very, very strict. They didn't do much, really. They just went to church and they sang these psalms without music, without anything, because music was from the devil, and they didn't have any decoration in the church. All the walls were white because everyone else was a distraction from the Word of God. And there was no young people going to that church. I wonder why. Then two old ladies took it upon her, in their 80s, took it in the heart that they were so upset, so in despair that they saw the church dying. There was no young people coming to their church anymore. There was nobody coming to salvation anymore. That 3 nights a week, they went on their knees all night and prayed to God for the whole night in front of a peat fire, which is pretty grotty. And lay there flat on their face. Can you imagine, 82 years old, not even sitting in a chair somewhere comfortable with a cushion or something. They were lying on their faces, prostrate in front of the fire, saying, God, send your glory. Let your presence descend upon us. Let us have revival in this place. And we're not going to give up. We're not, we'll die before we give up. We're just going to lie on this floor. Our faces are going to be in the ground. And we're going to pray until you send revival. And they believed that God would do that, and they persevered, and they truly knew that God was true to the word, and that when they saw their hearts, saw the desires, that God would give them the desires of their heart. And so they prayed, and then they called the minister from the other island and said, come on, pray with us, we believe the revival's coming. And the minister's like, 3 nights a week, that sounds challenging. He says, I'll tell you what, you stay here and you pray 3 times a week, and I'll gather the elders over the other side of the island and we'll pray to God with you. And then the elders and the ministers were moved by these ladies, and they didn't think they were crackpots or mad or anything. They thought, well, there's something moving in these ladies, there's something happening. And they began to pray over the other side of the island. They started to seek God, and they wanted breakthrough. They wanted breakthrough. And they prayed and they sought God. And the place was saturated by the presence of God. There was something happening there. They didn't have revival there, but there was something happening there. And God was moving. God was starting to answer prayer. God was starting to manifest them. They were starting to see the power of God moving, of miracles and wonders in their own lives, as God transformed their hearts As God changed them, as God purified them, as God brought them closer to Him, as God dealt with things in their life, they were drawn closer to God. They realized they needed to change, that they were come before a holy God and they couldn't become before God as they were. And they needed to be transformed and renewed. And they cried out to God, change us, God, transform us, make us more holy, make us worthy of being in your presence. We want more of you, and just be less of us, and change us and transform us. And God gave them a powerful word. They read a portion of Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. And the other word was, I say one promise, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. So I'll pour water upon him who is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. Are you thirsty? Do you want that living water? Are you ready to dig those wells where the living water pours through? Are you ready and thirsty? Do you want not just those wells to dwell up in you, but you want those wells to flood the dry land that is about us, a world that is falling and collapsing because they don't have any values or morals or a foundation anymore? A world that needs Jesus Christ, that needs a flood of His Spirit to move. And they became a bit frustrated as well, probably like we will. Because it just wasn't happening. They called the evangelist Donald Campbell to come and preach. And then all the people gathered together in a barn. And they started to pray out to God, and they called it to God. God, bring your revival. We're ready for it. God, bring it now. Why isn't your presence here? We want your glory. Bring it now, God. You said that you would promise that you would pour out this water to the thirsty, that you would flood the dry land. We declare that, and we know that you're a God who keeps His promises, and you are going to do this, God, amongst us. What boldness. And then one man stood up and he said, again from Psalm 24, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. That's the people started to realize that the presence of God was coming upon them. They fell flat on their faces and they said, God, give us clean hands. Give us a pure heart, God. Let us be worthy of being in your presence, because you are amazing. You are glorious. You are wonderful. Make us worthy. Clean our hearts. Clean our hands. Purify us, Lord. And as they prayed that, revival broke out and the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And as the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, exactly as we had a prophecy here that from LMC that lights would go out from LMC onto the houses, light burst from that place and went to every home, and people started repenting and confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. They didn't need evangelists, because the Holy Spirit went. The presence of God was so powerful flowing out from that place that people repented, that people cried out and said, how can I be saved? And there was a coach of young people who were going to a nightclub that night. They'd come from the university in the mainland, and they're there to have a party. And then the Holy Spirit came upon that bus. And all the young people, they left the disco and the nightclub, they left the bus, and they ran to the church, flying, lying on the platform, crying out, bring us a preacher, because we need to be saved. How can we be saved? How can I be saved from this sin that holds me? Save me, release me, and set me free. Can you imagine that? On a dead little island, revival breaks out and hundreds and thousands come to know the Lord. And as people prayed in their homes for God's presence to descend upon them, God moved and brought more and more people to salvation. And so from that presence, we experience what Paul says. I don't just come with words, but come with demonstration of God's power and his Spirit with miracles and wonders. Not by my strength, but my Spirit, says the Lord. So as we go on to worship tonight, and as we minister to each other for the last short period, let's pray to God. Give us clean hands, God. Give us pure hearts. Wash us clean that we might be worthy of your presence and your glory. Wash us clean that your revival may come. Wash us clean that your Spirit may pour upon us and flood out into this community and bring salvation. Come and say that you are thirsty. Ask God to pour out his living water into your mouth. Ask him for that living water to fall upon the dry land of this place and flood it with his power. Pray to God to anoint you in your life, that the presence of God may be so strong upon you that where you go you may demonstrate his power through miracles and wonders, that people may be transformed. That the greatest miracle, the greatest wonder that Paul knew, and we forget that. Paul knew the greatest wonder, the greatest miracle was seeing someone saved. Somebody saved from damnation, somebody brought to grace and love in Jesus Christ. The greatest miracle was for him to preach his life and say, not I, but Christ crucified. I don't preach myself, I preach Christ. I don't talk about myself, I talk about Christ, because I want to see that miracle of salvation in every person that I meet. So let's pray that we may be vehicles of salvation, that where we go, that we may also bring salvation in God's power in that place. Amen.